Fuel Stop Chats is recorded live over Zoom. Please check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Fuel Stop Chats. And also, if you're brave enough to want to watch us, check us out on our YouTube channel. Search Fuel Stop Chats for the show recordings and other additional videos. As always, like and subscribe. And if you have a show idea, feel free to reach out to us at fuelstopchats@gmail.com. Again, fuelstopchats@gmail.com. If you like our podcast, like and subscribe, throw us a rating, tell your friends, and let's grow the community. Thanks for listening. Key the intro. Recording in progress. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Chris, and welcome to another edition to Fuel Stop Chats. I'm James.
I'm Chris.
And here we go again. We've got a few different things that we want to talk about tonight, and I think I'm going to kick it off real fast with some of the weather that's out there. It's late September, and I know last week we had talked about, you know, getting out and seeing the fall colors and, you know, doing some leaf peeping, but I've seen some reports in Yellowstone, pretty large amounts of snow. And in the Colorado, there was somebody that had posted some pictures. There was, I think, three GSs sitting up on top of one of the Colorado passes at, I don't know, 13,000 feet, iced over. And he's like, yeah, I'm in my car. I'm not even riding. These guys are crazy. The car's all over the place. So
we've been lucky so far. I mean, we did have the remnants of the hurricane brought us 8 inches of rain in 2 days. That was a mess. And we've had yesterday, day before yesterday, more thunderstorms come through, lots of rain. Everybody's, you know, whining about the East Coast being wet. But tomorrow and Saturday, we're talking high of 69 degrees, 51 degrees at night. It's like the perfect sit by the fire, enjoy a cigar, you know, and chat with your buddies about what's going on in the world of motorcycling.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, let's get going with that. What is going on in the world of motorcycling? I know you had some stuff that you want to talk about. I've seen a lot of traffic on this, actually. It's funny, we started talking about this earlier this week, and I don't know if maybe something had triggered you on this, but now I'm seeing it everywhere. I guess it's sort of like when you buy that one car and, you know, because it's your favorite car, and then all of a sudden they're on every freaking corner. Everybody's got the same car. I don't know if it's because we just started talking about it that I'd never really seen it before, but why don't you go ahead and bring us into that conversation?
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that. What we're talking about, guys, in case you're not wondering, or if you're wondering. So there have been no less than 5 or 6 in the last 2 days surveys. One was pretty egregious, I felt. It said, I can tell what kind of bike you ride by your answer to this question. Do you wear a helmet? And there was a few people that thought that was a little offensive, and they responded, as you know, as the people on Facebook do. Mm-hmm. There was another post that was talking about the safety of lane splitting. It was a nice video on YouTube that was associated with that. And then there was the debate about what state has what law and at what age. And so generally speaking, there has been, like I said, no less than 5 or 6 of these posts in most of the forums that I belong to. And quite frankly, guys, I only belong to motorcycle forums, so I really don't know what's going on in the rest of the world. Yeah. And quite frankly, don't care. Sure. You'll notice on this show, we don't care. So, yeah. So anyway, we'll start with the helmet thing. I live in Pennsylvania. We do not require a helmet unless you are on a learner's permit. If you're on a learner's permit, you got to have a helmet. Can't ride after dark. Don't carry passengers, you know, as it should be. And then after that, you don't have to wear a helmet. And so I see guys, because I live in that tri-state corner, you'll see people that, as soon as they cross the state line from Maryland to Pennsylvania, which is only 3 miles from me, you know, they're pulling the lids off. They're literally pulling off the side of the road, pulling the lids off. And then, you know, I've been to Missouri, which is another border state with Illinois, where my cousins, we ride from Missouri, we'll go over to Illinois, we'll ride the river road up, you know, north up as far as like Hannibal area, cross back over to the Missouri side. And they're stopping like as soon as they get across the bridge and they're taking their helmets off.
Yep.
And Missouri, supposedly now, if you're 26, I think is the last thing I saw, you can ride without a helmet. So, I mean, a lot of places are leaving it up to the riders. I think it's funny in the day and age of shaming people for shots that it's my body, it's my right, I wear a helmet or I don't wear a helmet. But that same guy that can choose to live life without a helmet can choose not to get a shot. He should be able to. I mean, I don't know. That's whatever.
We're not getting into that.
Yeah. So anyway, going back to the helmet thing, I grew up riding dirt bikes, 10 years old, got our first dirt bike. Back then we didn't have the really cool full face modular or motocross helmets. We just had the, you know, 3/4. But dad was adamant that we wore a helmet. Now we didn't have motocross gear till we got a little bit older, you know, but,
that shit was expensive then.
Well, it was,
I mean, you didn't have options either of going on eBay and getting a plethora of stuff that's out there.
You had to go to
the motorcycle shop. You had to go to Honda and you had to buy the Fox Moto gear because it was the only thing that they had. And the shoulder pads were, you know, way out of price. You know, gloves were way out of anything was. So, you know, you were out there with work boots, dungarees and work gloves, maybe gloves if you wore gloves.
Maybe.
I remember my first bike, my first helmet was, it was a Bell helmet. I remember it was a Bell. Because it said Bell right there in a little sticker, but it was blue and sparkly. So one of the, it looked like a freaking bowling ball, but it was, you know, a full open face, but it went down over the ear. And I remember, you know, I remember overhearing my mom telling one of her friends, and I think I was probably 7 or 8 years old, that she always felt so sorry for me when I would get back from motorcycling on my little 50, because it would be hot as ever and I'd be sweating my ass off, but you know, I'd pull that helmet off and it would be like soup in there. I'd be totally drenched, but she says I still won't let him ride without it. And I'm glad that she didn't, because it, to me, it put in, I guess that was, it was ingested into my head early that I need to wear a helmet. It's, if anything else, I need to wear a helmet. Now I will say, because my wife is listening, earlier this week, my KTM finally came home and the dealer took it off the truck. And I was like, well, I need to take it for a test drive. I'm in flip-flop shorts and a t-shirt. And I just got on it and I went down the street, turned around and came back. And I was thinking to myself, man, if I went down right now, I'm just a horse's ass, because I'm a promoter of wearing safe gear, but I knew that I needed to test the bike out. And yeah, when I got it back and got it home, I noticed that the carburetor was leaking. So back on the truck it went, and the KTM is back in the shop again. What's really funny on that is when I got it off the truck, I'm going to sell the bike, right? I get on the bike and I start riding it and I'm hitting third gear and it's hitting the power band and I'm heading down the road. And I was thinking to myself, fuck this. I'm keeping the bike. I love this thing. This thing is just so much fun. I'm keeping it. I'm taking it to North Carolina. I'm going to put it in the shed. That's that. I'll keep it up there. You know, it's got the Supermoto stuff on there. Hooligan bike to the max. I can throw the knobbies on there, do the trick. I'm keeping the bike. I get home, turn it off, smiling from ear to ear. And then I could smell the fuel. I look and I can see it just dripping out of the bottom. I was like, nope, that was the universe reminding me, get rid of that bike. So when the bike is completely done to my satisfaction, I will put a price tag on it and send it out there. And if anybody is listening and wants a 2004 KTM 400 EXE with Supermoto and regular dirt, fully loaded, extra tanks, it's built to go into the dirt and across country, long distance adventure, shoot me a line, fuelstopchats@gmail.com. But I digress. Helmets, I wear them. I think it's important. Even when I had my Harley and I went through my Harley phase, I had the little small, you know, quarter. Which I thought to myself, you know, this isn't that pretty, but if we put road rash on the face, it's going to even be worse. So let's wear full face.
Yeah. I grew up wearing, you know, as soon as the full face helmets came out, I remember, not long before that, I had face planted on a gravel road at a pretty good clip. And I remember when I got up, I was looking at my helmet and I kept thinking to myself, you're lucky that you had the angle and the reflexes to turn your head and slide on your helmet and not your face. But first chance I got a full face helmet, I was like, okay, I'm gonna do that. And then they came out with the modulars, and that's to me like the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
if I want to get gas and stop and talk to somebody, I can flip the thing up. If I want to drink a bottle of water, whatever.
I like a full face. I like a modular. I think the modular works best.
So anyway, the other, you know, the issue with the helmet to me is, again, I personally don't care if you wear a helmet or you don't wear a helmet. I mean, that's your prerogative.
That's your, that's your call.
And I'm not a hater one way or the other. Same thing with the brands and all that stuff is, to me, it's like of all the crap in the world we got to deal with, whether that dude beside me has a helmet on or not, I really don't care. And so anyway, I would be interested if people want to send us an email or they want to send us a post on our Insta, you know, let us know what you think about the helmets. You know, one way or the other, that's fine. But personally, my noggin, I'm wearing one. I heard a guy say something really interesting to me. We were out west. It was about 113 degrees. We had stopped for fuel and we were coming around, you know, where you just before you get to Edwards and you make that north on, what is that, 15 that runs into Vegas around the Mojave Desert. And it was hot. We stopped to get gas and a bottle of water. And this guy was saying about, I can't see how you could stand to wear a helmet. I said, two things, man. Number one, I've had skin cancer cut off my head about four times and really don't want to continue doing that. Number two, the same material that's made that they make your little koozie out of, your beer cool cup, whatever you call it, wherever you live in the States, it's the same stuff that's inside this helmet. My head's 98 degrees, which according to my math is less than 113. So if that's an insulation against 113, why not? And so there's a couple of reasons why I wear one outside of safety. I know if you have the big, long flowing locks, you know, Will Willis probably, you know, floating down letting the wind and the ride pass through him like water through fish gills. You know, maybe he don't wear one. Maybe he does. I don't know.
But he lives in California.
According to the hair for it.
You know, we got the map up and he lives in California. And according to California, he's wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're looking, if you're watching on the YouTube, you can see this. If you're listening to it, we have a map up real quick. And, you know, it's like Washington, Oregon, Nevada, which is sort of surprising for me. But California, all of those require
Nevada. This is the state where isn't prostitution legal in Nevada? Yeah. So you have to have a helmet on one head, but not the other.
Well, it doesn't say that you don't have to have that on there.
Crazy.
Nebraska, which is.
Look at Pennsylvania. We are absolutely standout on the East Coast.
Yep. Well the same as, was it Rhode Island doesn't need it?
Is it?
No,
is Connecticut?
That, no, it's Connecticut. Connecticut. Yeah, Connecticut doesn't need it. Maine doesn't need it. New Hampshire, none whatsoever. So, I mean, New Hampshire, Illinois, and Iowa are the only three states where if I am 16 years old and I just got my license, I don't have to wear a helmet.
Yeah,
I can't buy a gun in Illinois, but no. I can ride around on a rocket without a helmet.
And you can get a $40 to $60 fine for not having your seatbelt on.
Exactly. For some reason, I don't get some of these laws.
You know what though? Again, don't care. You know, the reason I brought it up was I saw the Facebook page. I looked at the comments and people are losing their mind over this. Both sides. Like, you're an idiot if you don't wear a helmet. You're a jackass if you force me to wear a helmet. I mean, and it's like, I just scroll on. Like, who cares? Like, you know, that's like saying, hey, man, I can't believe you're wearing riding boots. you should be wearing, mm-hmm. I mean, combat boots. It's like, well, okay, well, whatever, right?
Yeah, they're my feet. They're not yours.
And guess what? I still wave as I go past motorcyclists,
yep.
regardless of the brand and regardless of whether they have a helmet on.
Yeah, to me, this all this tells me is there's really good insurance company lobbyists for these states.
For real.
And that's what it really comes down to. It all comes down to money. I think the really interesting topic that we've seen and what we were going to get into is some of the lane splitting stuff and lane filtering. So,
yeah, let's get into that.
I didn't really understand the difference, but you have lane filtering and you have lane splitting. Lane splitting is you can be doing between 15 or zero and up to, I think, 35 miles per hour, and you can go through traffic in your own lane. Are you know, splitting the traffic. You can ride the white line, if you will, in between cars, as long as you're moving faster than them and it's not over, I don't know, 35, 50, whatever.
Well, yeah, and you can't be going over 15 over what they're doing.
Over what they're doing, exactly. And then you have lane filtering, which is when you come to a construction zone or a red light, or you know, a stop in traffic, you can go on the shoulder or you can ride in between the vehicles. And you can go to the front of the line to be passed and, you know, away from everybody. So when traffic proceeds to go again, you're in the front and you can be away from everybody, which is great.
Okay. So I'm going to comment on this filtering versus splitting. On the splitting thing, you and I know when we were coming back to LA, it was late. We were going to miss a flight. We were making time. And traffic was terrible. We didn't realize it was the Olympic marathon trials. And so that added some extra little sauce to the California traffic around LA. But it was nice to be able to do that. It really was. Now, on the filtering.
Also, nerve-wracking as hell for me because I've never done it before. And now I'm doing it on a bike with bags. I mean, I forget what I had. I think it was... what did I have?
I was on a Street Glide.
I was on a GS 800, I think. But I mean, I had a Tiger with the big metal bags on the back. So it had the panniers on the back, Tiger 800. And that's a wide footprint to put between cars when you're not comfortable riding between cars.
Yeah.
And so I was nervous and there was areas where I was like, you know, some of those guys were going through there with GSs that live in California that I was like, nope, not touching it. I'm not comfortable with the footprint of this bike. I don't know this bike. It's not mine. I'm renting it. I don't know where it fits well enough to be passing vehicles at speed in between them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, if it's not something you're used to, but I could get used to that. The filtering to me, here's my issue. We have a brand new Toyota 4Runner, just bought it, 6,000 miles, had it maybe a couple of months. My wife's sitting dead stopped at a stoplight. The light turns green. She's probably the fifth or sixth car in the line. So when the light turns green, you don't immediately get to go. You got to wait on the cars in front of you, right?
Yep.
So she said she had just started to raise her foot off the brake and start rolling and boom, somebody hits her in the rear end. Enough that it threw her head back. Her mom was with her, and she hits the brakes. And those thing apart, gets out. This kid, about 19, jumps out, and he's saying, oh, please, don't call the cops. If we can move this off the road, don't call the cops. My wife says, no, we're going to, right? Mm-hmm. Now, before she could finish the sentence at the intersection, over here was sitting a township cop. Huh. So within 2 seconds, she had response. Poof, he saw the whole thing happen. So if had it been me, now here's the thing. The guy said, I reached into my backseat floorboard to get a bottle of Gatorade. And my foot, as I pushed to lean, I wasn't on the brake. I hit the gas. And he went from zero to hero in a second. And smashed his car, shoved the hood up to the windshield. And all I could think about was, had I been sitting on my bike at that intersection, that puts, what that he would have smashed me into smithereens. Yeah. So when people ask me, and they do all the time, hey, I saw you in town the other day and you were out of line at the stoplight. I was like, what are you talking about? It's like, well, the car's sitting like this, right? And you're sitting like this behind him at an angle off here. And I said, yeah, if you hit me, instead of getting smashed between the car and you, I'll get shoved out in the traffic. I'll roll the dice with that, you know, but at least I've got a chance. And when we're sitting at a construction zone and we get the opportunity to roll to the front, I'm taking it for that reason right there. Right. And so when you watch the video, you're going to share this on the YouTube, right? The link to the video.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the link was, but we'll have to get that. Check out the YouTube. You'll see it. Anyway, the guy talks about the video, the filtering and the splitting. And he talks about things like the flow of traffic being better when bikes are not taking up space in line. You know, they can, you know, you're going to have to car. You take all. And now I'm going to play devil's advocate on that a little bit. How many bikes versus cars do you see on the road today? Like, how much space are we really saving if we all fly through the lane? You know, I don't know. We could get into the math on that. But on the filtering side of things, from a pure safety perspective, I mean, man, come on. That makes too much sense. The other thing Pennsylvania has done recently, which I really find and appreciate, is when you're at a stoplight and it won't change because there's not enough magnetic or there's not a sensor to pick up your bike. They say that if that happens two cycles, you can start rolling forward and make it like a stop sign instead of a stop light. Now, yeah, at your risk, right? But still, at the end of the day, they don't leave you sitting there forever. I've seen guys sit there so long, they get off their bike, they walk over and push the button to cross the street just to get the light to change. And now you don't have to do that. But anyway,
so real quick. For that video that you were talking about, I'm not going to play it because I mean, this is some other guy's video. I don't want to play it on here without his consent. I'm sure that he wouldn't have a problem with it. But I will say, if you look for a user on YouTube under the name of Tobacco MC, he's got a video. It's called Let's Split, the Case for Lane Splitting. It's about 1,000 views on it, but he only posted it a couple days ago. It really breaks down lane splitting and what it means. And it's very educational for people that don't ride motorcycles.
Well, and that brings up the next point. One thing I can tell you in California, I did notice there were occasionally the one or two, but for the most part, people would see you coming and they would scooch over a little bit and acknowledge the bike coming up the white line or the stripe line there in the middle and make room, you know? Now, occasionally you run into the butthead that gets mad that you're rolling past him and you're making better time than him. So he's going to, you know, damn the torpedoes and cut you off, you know, and those jerks, they probably shouldn't have a driver's license. But anyway,
those are the people that are there on vacation from Florida.
The blue hairs. Oh, did I say that out loud? Anyway,
no, just aggressive people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like New York, I don't have any desire to ride around, you know, Manhattan on a bike.
No,
just don't.
So the picture that I have up right now, which I find really interesting. So you have, you know, and for YouTubers, you're watching it, for podcasters, I'll just walk you through it. It's got a picture of the United States, and California is green, and green meaning that it's legal for lane splitting. There's some yellow states, and yellow is very interesting to me. So it's Montana, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, Mississippi, Missouri, Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia.
It was Mississippi, Arkansas, Missouri. Alabama is black.
Oh, sorry.
It's Arkansas. It's in the black.
Yep. North Carolina. And it looks like, what is that? Washington, D.C. or Delaware? Delaware.
Maryland? It's not Maryland.
I don't know. Let me.
It's got to be Delaware. It's got to be Delaware.
That is Delaware. Yeah, it's Delaware. Yeah. So those states, it's not illegal to lane split. But it's not legal to lane split. There's no definitive law. So it's a roll of the dice on the officer pulling you over and the insurance company. So, you know, roll the dice on your side. You could do it in those states. And if you have a good lawyer, if you do get a ticket, you could probably fight that because it's not specifically prohibited. It's not illegal, but it's also not legal.
I did a little research.
Okay.
They do have reckless driving and reckless riding laws that if the police officer deemed your maneuver to be reckless, he can get you for reckless driving and he doesn't have to have an argument with you about lane splitting or not. So
interesting.
Yeah. So that's the cautionary tale. But at the end of the day, I mean, California has kind of gotten it right as far as the lane splitting and filtering goes. And you know, it's crazy. If you travel overseas, if you go to Thailand, you go to, I don't know, pick an Asian country.
Pick a European country.
Italy, right? I mean,
you can't stop at a red light in Italy without having 1,000 mopeds pull in front of you.
Every single day, all day, every day, lane splitting, lane filtering. Now they are wearing helmets, but.
Now for lane filtering, there is two states that allow lane filtering, and that's Utah and Montana. Those are the only two states that it's legal to filter all the way to the front. Every other state, not legal.
Wait in line. Don't pull that trick in Virginia. I can tell you right now.
Don't pull it in Florida. I've seen videos of cars running over motorcycles just because they pulled in front of them. It's absolute. There is so much road rage in Florida, and I live here. And I get a little road ragey myself for people driving slow in the left lane, even though I drive, I'm always in the left lane and my wife is always pointing that out to me, but I'm also driving faster than everybody because I have a lead foot. But there is a lot of road rage. It's like everybody is racing everybody and they take it personal. If you get in front of them, like it's like they feel that you think you're better than them and that you have to be in front of them to prove a point. It's like, buddy, I'm on a motorcycle. I'm just trying to get out of traffic. I'm trying to go faster than everybody else just because it's safer for me.
You just touched on a whole societal thing.
Well, yeah, there is that too.
It's all about me.
Yes.
Right.
That's what I love about riding and driving and riding in Texas is hands down my favorite state to ride and drive in. And the reason why is because when you come up behind somebody, 9 times out of 10, that person's going to actually move over to the shoulder to allow you to pass them, which is beautiful. Go ahead. Go past
California. Them. California. We've had lots of people. We were climbing up through the Cleveland Forest. And then the other times we've gone up through. Yeah, they'll move over and let you go by. Right there, they know that you're out there having fun. Don't mind pulling over. Let you go have your fun. Right.
Well, how many pull offs were on the tail of the dragon that Daryl said?
118,
something like that. Over 100 pull offs in 11 miles.
Yeah.
How often do people actually use them?
Like never.
No.
Rarely. Super rare. But you know, I mean, it goes back to the me society. I can remember as a kid, you know, sitting at a stoplight, we used to joke about, you know, everybody's so polite out there in Missouri. They're, you know, you go first. No, you go first. No, I insist. Yeah. You go first, right? Now it's, I'm going to start going whether I think it's my turn or not. Yep. Here's another one, right? You come up to an intersection. There's a through route. Mm-hmm. And on each side, there's side streets. If I pull up to this and I see that you have no blinker turned on, assuming you're coming straight across, and I have my left turn blinker on, who has the right of way?
It'd be me.
You, because you're coming straight across.
Yeah.
That's not how it works here in Pennsylvania. I got to the intersection before you did. So I got to go first.
Yeah, there is that.
And if you grow up where you're used to, he's coming across, he's got the right of way, and I've got to turn. So I'm now, if you turn right, go do your thing. But
no, yeah, Florida's the same way with that. Whoever got to that stop sign, that four-way stop first, they have the right of way.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is here. It's first.
Well, and I think, you know, therein lies the thing, you know, each state, you got 50 of them and how many laws, 50 of them. And, you know, it'd be nice to have some standardization, but by the same token, I dig the fact that people in a state can kind of control their own destiny. And so, you know, it'd be nice to have some of those standards. I do think though, the filtering, even more so than the splitting, I dig. I just think there's so many reasons why safety wise, get the bikes out of the line of traffic. You know, hey, have you ridden a ferry up around Seattle? First No. vehicles on the ferry, motorcycles. First Yep. vehicles off the ferry, motorcycles.
No, and that's how it was when I went in when I was Washington State going in, heading up to Canada, but I had to cross the, was it the Columbia River that's up there?
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah. Motorcycles on first, motorcycles off first. And what was great about that is when I got off first, I knew that I had 20 to 30 minutes of freedom in front of me because there was nobody ahead of me.
Bliss.
And I had fun. I had a lot of fun on that road.
So anyway, I don't care whether you are or aren't a helmet person. Don't care what your opinions on splitting and filtering, but definitely worth a conversation. I would just suggest the following. It isn't a personal attack if you don't agree with the person in this debate about your helmet likes or dislikes. Let's just get along.
Yep. And I will say this, I if you're watching right now, the IIHS.org website has good information on motorcycling, where to, you know, helmet usage, not only for motorcycles, but also for autocycles, which are your slingshots, because there are states that require one that you have a motorcycle license to actually operate one of those and that you have to wear a helmet. We're not going to get into that because this is a motorcycle show, not a slingshot show. But, you know, I'm scrolling through here. It has all of the states. It has a breakdown of when you have, you know, if you have questions, if you don't like wearing a helmet and you're going somewhere to do a fly and ride, you might have to wear a helmet just because it's part of the rental agreement. So that's definitely something to look at. But if, you know, you're going out there to ride on a buddy's bike, you don't want to ride a helmet, but you're not sure about the rules and the laws out there, there is information out there. Just Google it or go to IIHS.org and then work your way through to motorcycle helmet laws by state.
Excellent, excellent, excellent place to go get current up to date. It looks like it's pretty up to date. September 2021.
Yeah. Yep.
There was a big debate online today about the Missouri, no Missouri, whatever. They had that up to date on that page. And it's easy to print that out and carry with you and mark your states on your travels. If you feel like riding without a helmet, now you'll know exactly where you can go and get away with that and be safe, worry free from being pulled over and given a ticket for no helmet.
And also from a lane splitting perspective, I know that I am an AMA member. With an AMA member, I get American Motorcyclist, which is this magazine right here.
Yep.
But within here, it usually has a breakdown every few months of lane splitting. But it also talks about what states are looking at legislation to change lane splitting and to allow it. And it gives you a chance to educate yourself on what is going on within your state legislation for motorcycling within the state that you live. But it can it can point you in direction to sign a petition or to support certain people within your state legislation to support lane splitting if you like it or if you don't. If you're vehemently against it, keep your mouth shut. No. If you feel like that you have a voice that you want heard, you know, make sure that you're heard.
Absolutely. There are activist groups out there one way or the other. And AMA does a great job of posting that by state, by law, you know, things that are in consideration, things that have been voted, some things that have been ratified. So the AMA does a great job on that. And that they do a pretty good job on the lobbyist side of things too.
So they do. They really do.
Put a plug in for the AMA.
And we'll be right back.
Learning history is something taught in school. Experiencing history is a right seldom exercised. either experiencing the American Civil War by walking its battlefields and touching the soil where blood was shed, or experiencing musical history from the studios where the lyrical touchstone was created and recorded, the textile of history should be experienced firsthand. Participants in this journey should be riding a motorcycle from historical location to historical location so that the environment can wash through them in the open air. Ride History provides an intimate, educated, and personal experience guiding its riders through history on the freedom of two wheels. Check out www.ridehistory.com for available tours of the Gettysburg Battlefield, or ride through America's entry into the Industrial Revolution on the oil field tour. The Knox Tour from Fort Ticonderoga to Boston, or the 8-day Rhythm Tour starting in Atlanta and hitting Nashville, Memphis, Muscle Shoals, Jackson, and New Orleans. Ride through American history at ridehistory.com.
So I think the other thing that we want to talk about was, I mean, we're talking safety equipment.
Yep.
You know, I wear gloves, boots, helmet, everything. I wear a airbag vest, which I love, except when I have my KTM straight back from the shop and I just want to take it down the block. But
with your flip-flops and shorts.
Yeah, I'm a little hypocritical on that. I knew what I was doing. I knew I was taking what risks I was taking. But I'm glad that I did it, because had I taken the time to suit up, the guy would have been gone with the truck, and it would have been a pain in the ass to get him back here to get the bike back in the shop.
Yeah, there was your leak.
Anyway, one of the things that we were talking about was safety in riding. You know, and I'm just going to play a video real quick. It's something that I saw on Instagram.
This guy.
It's open to interpretation.
Isn't it always?
Yes. So for those watching, you can watch this. If you're listening, there's a Instagram member. His name is Motorcycle Planet. Motorcycle Planet. There is a video on their link, on their lead. And feel free to check that out. Go ahead, Chris.
Before you hit play, I want you to take notice of the picture, and it's still, it's at 00 on the clip that we have.
Mm-hmm.
There is a truck that has clearly entered into the intersection. Okay.
Yes.
Now I want you to watch the timer at the bottom.
I don't know if I have a timer on this, but yeah, go ahead.
No, he does. Watch the video. Watch how many seconds go by.
All right, so I'm going to hit play. For those that are watching this, this does result in a motorcycle accident. If you don't want to watch this...
He gets up and walks away.
He gets up and he walks
Spoiler
away.
Spoiler alert, he's fine. Yeah,
that's fine. But if there's a PTSD issue that you've been in an accident before, you don't want to see this, skip ahead. And I'll give you a moment to do that. And for those still watching, it's not that play button, it's this one.
Okay, can you go back?
We'll play it the whole way through.
Okay.
And then we'll go through, and we'll do frame by frame. A little skinned up arm there. Pieces of his bike everywhere.
Strewn about.
It's like it disintegrated. It's stuck underneath the truck.
A shoe. Yeah, there's the bike stuck under the truck.
All right, so
okay.
I'm going to hit play, and then I'm going to pause it as we go through this. I'll go about 2 or 3 seconds in and pause it right before we get to the bike. As you notice, I mean, the bike looks like it's hauling ass. I don't know. It's hard to judge the distance, but I mean,
just count. I want you to, you see where it says 0.32?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you hit play right about impact, hit pause. He's made a decision to lay it down.
Yes. This far out, he has made the decision.
1,001, 1,002, I'm going to lay it down, 1,003. Okay?
And that's where the bike is under the truck within 3 seconds.
Yeah.
That's fast. That's 3 seconds.
Okay. Now, again, your video is paused, and he's already, looking at the truck in front of him.
Yes.
Okay. So
you can see it right here. You should be able to see it.
Let's just say that the truck's moving. He's moving. Let's give it 1 second. So there's 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. No decision to brake. No decision to alter my course. I'm just going to lay the bike on its side and slide underneath. I mean,
yeah, because right now, I mean, you can see the truck is halfway through the intersection.
That's what I'm saying.
It's still moving.
But now it stops.
Nope. It's still moving.
Still moving there.
This is about where it stops. I think the woman sees this bullet coming at her and freezes. Yeah, because she's not moving anymore. And you got.
But look to the left.
All that open space.
Look to the right.
Questionable parking lot and building.
You've had 3 seconds. 3 seconds. He made a decision to lay it down.
He's already made the decision because the bike
is already sliding it over. He's done right here.
Yeah, there's no way that he's going to make it around the back.
Now, based on the length of that truck and based on that distance, how far do you think that bike slides?
Well, it doesn't slide anywhere because it jams right underneath the.
No, but I'm saying he's laying it over 20, 40, 60 feet.
No, it hits the ground right before. I mean, he's already decided that he's going to lay it down. And I can see his point in this just because if he goes left, he doesn't know if she's going to take off.
Okay.
There is that. Maybe he doesn't see that there's no oncoming traffic, but you have the question of, is there oncoming traffic in that far left?
I'm going
lane?
Back to the start of the video.
Yep.
If it's me, the bike's laid down.
This bike is down at this point. You still have a good 20 feet to the impact of the vehicle.
My point was the video clip starts with the truck coming into.
There is more than enough space to stop a bike that's doing, let's say he's doing 60 miles an hour. If you can't stop a bike from here to there at 60.
Even if you just slowed down to where you can maneuver around the back of the truck.
Or the front. I mean, but there, yeah.
Like you're like no reaction. I'm laying the bike down. I'm telling you right now.
It's real easy for me to be here sitting as a Monday morning.
Okay, fair enough. Armchair quarterback
sitting here picking this apart. I've never been in this situation, and I hope to never be in this situation because I can just imagine your brain freezing to freak out. You're looking at this as impending doom. And you're not ready to react. The problem is that maybe he's a novice rider. Maybe he wasn't looking. He just wasn't paying attention.
So my theory
is a lot of things that we just don't know. I'm just glad the guy was okay.
Sure.
But it's something to definitely look at and learn from of alertness. And what would you do in this situation if this happened to you? Because it's just like I go to the gun range. I go to the gun range to build muscle memory in pulling a weapon and firing a weapon. And I do that because if I'm in a situation where I need to pull a weapon and fire a weapon, I don't want to have to think about it. I want it to be muscle memory, and it just works its way through. Because if you stop to think about, I'm going to use a weapon to cause bodily harm to another human being, it's very hard to process that and pull the trigger. Having muscle memory on that surely helps.
So what you're saying is this guy needs to ride his motorcycle at a high rate of speed through multiple intersections and practice avoiding this truck.
No, what this guy needs to do is work through and think about scenarios like this, like we all do. What would I do if? What would I do if? What would I do if?
I always anticipate that the car is going to make the wrong move. And always. So at this point, right now, at the start of this video, with this view, I'm already backing off. I'm already hitting my brake.
Yeah, this guy clearly should have been hitting his brake at this point.
I mean,
he should have. Yeah. I mean, hands down, he had more than enough room to stop the bike. Again, without being in that situation, I don't know, this guy had brain freeze. He just he locked up.
Because I think it was a hot girl in the oncoming car there.
Could have been too. Yeah,
totally.
We'll watch it one more time.
Is it? What's in the left?
And
yeah, Camaro.
There it goes.
Yeah, hot Camaro. Boom, trucking away. Well, like you said, main thing is, guy's okay. Looks like he's got a little road rash, but he's alive and kicking.
Pride lost.
Yeah.
I'm sure the insurance company will find that video very insightful on, well, you were exceeding the speed limit a little bit, and maybe you should have reacted differently.
Like I said, who knows? I mean, even at 45 miles an hour, you know, you're going to close that space in a pretty good piece. That's why, like, you've immediately made recognition. There's a truck coming into your path. But think about right now, what am I going to do? I'm going to start slowing down.
Yeah. I mean, you can hear them decelerating. You hear the, but I don't hear him clicking through gears, trying to use the back to slow you down, going through gears.
We had no audio. I don't know, but I'm just counting 1,001, 1,002.
I had audio. I you didn't have, I'm sorry. Sorry for the listeners out there.
It's no big deal.
The audio, if you go out and you listen to this and you watch this, you will hear the revs going down. But he doesn't change gears. He stays in the same gear.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't hear brakes. I tried to, the view doesn't show his hands on the brakes. I can't see it. But I mean, I got 800 pounds and I think I could stop it in that much time. I don't want to find out, but I think I could slow it down a lot.
That's another case for safety. Those bikes, your bike, my bike, this white one, the brakes are linked, and you grab the front brake, it gives you some rear brake. Ratio is appropriate, and so you know, that's a great safety feature. ABS is a great safety feature. Mm-hmm. So those are good advances that the bikes have nowadays. Maybe that bike didn't have. Clearly he locked up the rear tire pretty quick, because that's exactly how they behave, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but like I said, I'm glad he's okay. And you know,
he'll ride another day.
Definitely cover down on the you know, the brakes and give it a rest.
Yeah, I think what we want to take from this is what sort of what you said. You know, everybody out there is trying to kill you in a car.
Yeah, just assume they're going to sit in the middle of your intersection. They're not going to clear the way for you. And I saw a great study the other day that talked about the way we see. And it talked about how as you're panning your head, you're taking snapshots and your brain fills in the space in between.
Really?
And that's why people can appear to be looking at you at an intersection, looking left and right, and not see the motorcycle pull right out in front of them. Because that slice, as they were turning their head, the brain didn't fill it in with a bike in the picture. The brain filled it in with trees, grass, you know, pavement, whatever. And that's why a lot of times you've seen me do it. You come up to an intersection and I'm doing the serpentine to make myself more noticeable as they're making that pan, you know. But that was an interesting study. And again, this is, you know, one of those things where, okay, we know that when I'm with the grandson in the car, it's how many motorcycles can you see on our trip?
Exactly.
So start looking for them, right? So he's a better cager. And we all, you know, and being a motorcyclist definitely makes you drive different. You look at the distance between vehicles, you know, differently. If you do follow a motorcyclist, you know, you're coming up to slow down. He's probably engine braking. I should hit my brakes, right? Most people that don't know those things about motorcycles. And so they crowd you, they cut you off, they pull in front of you, you know, all kinds of stuff. The last thing I would say on the whole safety thing, you're on a bike that weighs 800 pounds, 400 pounds, 1,000 pounds, and you're competing with a vehicle that weighs 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 pounds, 7,000 pounds, right? You're not going to win. There's no point in pulling up next to somebody and making threats. Because if you really make the guy mad, it doesn't, you can't win. So, you know, you could surely follow him to the next gas station or whatever. But you could also just say, hey, you know what? Let's just assume he didn't see me. You know, let's just roll on.
Yeah, you don't. It's one of those things where it's you're not saving it, it. You don't have to worry about saving face. You're on a bike. That guy's not going to think of you.
No.
And a minute down the road.
Nope.
So there's no reason for you to be thinking about him a minute down the road.
Yeah, don't let it ruin your ride, man. Just roll on.
Exactly. Don't let him ruin the ride. So, yeah, I think that was a really good conversation. Hopefully our listeners got something out of that. I'd like to say in the next few weeks, we have some hopeful good shows coming on, trying to get Florian back on. So I'm sure that they're going to have some fall color information, some ride thoughts for fall colors.
For those that don't know, our bi-monthly guest, Florian Neuhauser, the editor-in-chief of Roadrunner Magazine.
Yes. I'd like to try to reach out to our traveling Wilburys out there.
The disorderly drifters.
They're making their way all the way to the bottom.
To the bottom.
They're down in Mexico somewhere. I don't know. Shit, I don't even know where they are right now.
I saw a post on Insta today that was pouring buckets. So
yeah,
I don't know, but they weren't in a hurry to go anywhere. It was pouring down rain.
They're not in a hurry to go anywhere anyway.
We got to check in with Tracy.
Check in with Tracy. Looks
like the borders are opening up.
Yes.
She posted about it today. So got to find out if she's going to leave Colombia or she's homesteading.
Yep. And for some of the riders that want to head down that way, it looks like some of the borders are loosening up a little bit. So,
yep. Canada, Mexico. And
it's time to make those plans for South America because their December is not like our December. Keep that in mind. And lastly, we had a reach out. I reached out to the BDR guys and
backcountry discovery routes for you ADV riders that are tired of listening about street bikes all the time. We're going to have some backcountry discovery route discussions coming up. So that'll be fun.
And I do want to take a quick moment and give a quick shout out to Mr. Anthony Moreno. He reached out to me on Instagram earlier this week saying that, you know, that's Quaking Aspen that you were looking for. Quaking Aspen. Great that some of our listeners are reaching out to us. Appreciate that. Find us on Instagram, Fuel Stop Chats, everything, Fuel Stop Chats. If you want to reach out to us on email, fuelstopchats@gmail.mail.
Gmail.com.
Gmail.com. That's even better. Yeah,
that will actually work. Mail.
What, yeah, that would actually work.
What is that? Where's that domain name?
I don't know. We've been on too long. All right. It's a late show. I appreciate everybody listening. And like, subscribe. That's about it. Chris,
yeah, man. No, I just, you know, I appreciate the people that have been listening and reaching out. It's always fun when somebody sends us a note about a topic or you bump into somebody in an event. They go, hell, you're that guy I was watching on YouTube the other day. Exactly. So it's a lot of fun. Would love to hear from our folks that listen. Like, is there a topic you want us to cover? A great joke you want to share? I mean, a good cigar you ran into? Send us a note. We care.
We do. All right. Aside from that, have a good day, everybody. Ride safe. Ride her out, Chris.
Ride her out, brother.